Let's pray. Holy Spirit, make your presence known to us this morning. Move among us, open our eyes to see you, our hearts to feel you, our ears to hear you. Use me to have the word spoken today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So our scripture this morning comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Now let's hear the word of God. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I was reading the scripture that was available this morning in the lectionary, and I came to this one, and I found myself scratching my head because it seemed like it was two different things mashed together, and I couldn't quite figure out how these two passages had anything to do with each other. Is it only me? Well, it was bothering me. So I decided that I needed to look at it. Actually, I was tempted to just preach on verses 13 and 16. Salt of the earth, the light of the world. Lots of sermons have been written about that and that alone, and so I would have been in really good company. But I decided that there was probably a reason that all these verses were put together, so I wanted to figure it out. So that's what I did. And to help you understand it a little bit better as well, I want to put a little context around it. Because what we're doing right now is we're right in the middle of Jesus' preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes as we know them, the Blesseds, as you might want to think about them. Like, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those Blesseds. So what had been going on was crowds were following Jesus around. And he stopped to preach and talk to them. And he talked about what ways they would be blessed. And then he began talking about the salt and the light. And what had happened was Jesus made a shift from talking to the crowd, the mass of people, to talking to the disciples. And so that's what we find in verse 11. Blessed are you when people revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, you will be persecuted. So Jesus is telling the disciples what it means to be disciples. And he begins by telling them, it's not going to be easy. You might be persecuted the way the prophets were persecuted. People may revile you. They may say false things against you. You might be in the company of the prophets. And being in the company of the prophets was not easy. But that's what Jesus is telling them. And then he gives a job description. We understand job descriptions in our society because most of us have them. If we don't, we want to have them, so we'll understand what we're supposed to do. So Jesus was giving a job description of sorts to the disciples. He says, you are the salt of the earth and a light to the world. But what in the world does that mean? If your job description said, okay, Dondra, You're supposed to be the salt of the earth and a light to the world. I'd be asking for some clarification, because I'm not exactly sure how I'm supposed to do that. And Dennis did a really good job of talking about the salt this morning, because he talked about how it adds flavor. Steve, if we don't have salt in our food, we don't like it, do we? We say it's bland, we complain about it, and we look for the salt shaker to put a little bit of flavor on our food. We also use it so that we can preserve our food. And it's essential for our bodies. We need salt in our bodies. We don't need too much, but we need the right balance so that our bodies will be okay. So salt is essential. The disciples are essential. A light to the world. Have you ever been anywhere where it's complete and total darkness? Yeah. No light from a flashlight or a light bulb or outside lights. The sky is overcast. The moon is dark. Can't see stars. Total and complete darkness. What do? You stand there until you can see, because otherwise you're afraid you're going to stumble and fall. If you're outside, you're afraid you might walk off a cliff. You don't go anywhere if it's total darkness. So we need both of these things. We need salt. We need light. And so Jesus was telling the disciples, this is what you are to the world. You are essential. The world needs you. I need you. Jesus knew that he was going away. He needed the disciples to be there to spread his word after he left. So disciples were necessary. We need them. And then Jesus takes this turn that seems odd. At least to me, it seemed odd. And he started talking about the law and the prophets. And he told the disciples that if their righteousness were not to exceed the scribes and the Pharisees, then there was going to be a problem. They needed to exceed the scribes and the Pharisees with their righteousness. And I read that, and I thought, haven't we talked about the scribes and the Pharisees in not such flattering ways? Why is Jesus saying that the disciples need to exceed their righteousness? Because the scribes were experts in the Jewish law, and they followed them to a T. So did the Pharisees. The Pharisees were very concerned about the law, especially when it came to purity and tithing and keeping the Sabbath. They were all about that. So why would Jesus be telling them that they need to out-observe the scribes and the Pharisees? How is that possible? It says in verse 20, if you look at it, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." How are we supposed to understand this? What are we supposed to do with that? Now, as I was reading that, I thought, well, maybe Jesus means something different by righteousness than we like to think. I don't know about you, but when I think of righteousness, I start thinking about kind of that to-do list, checking off the things I'm supposed to do to be a good Christian and not do, making sure I don't do those things. And we could come to the conclusion that Jesus means those really strict laws that the scribes and the Pharisees were following, because we look at verse 17, Jesus said this, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So it sounds like Jesus is saying, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they have it right, and y'all need to out righteous them. That's what this sounds like if we just look at it that way. But I think we're missing something. I think we're missing what Jesus means by righteous. Jesus, I don't think, means literal obedience to all of those minute rules and regulations that the scribes and the Pharisees had. Instead, I think Jesus is talking about something different. He's trying to tell us that those who belong to God's kingdom, God's new kingdom, must move beyond the literal observation of rules to an understanding of what it means to please God. It just goes beyond knowing and doing the will of God. It's more than just surface. It goes deeper than that. The disciples, yes, they are one that honors both the teaching and the practice of the law, but it's the law that was interpreted by Jesus. And that was a little bit different. Because what Jesus taught is what it looks like to observe the law is the giving completely of oneself to God and to neighbor. Because Jesus taught, what's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So what we see is that Jesus did not reinterpret the law by throwing it out. What he did was he bathed it in love. And so it came to be a little bit different if you think about it. Because Jesus gave an example of this. In verse 21, he said this, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable of judgment.' We know that law. Thou shalt not murder. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or a sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or a sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire." It's a stricter law. Jesus is telling us something a little different. Because what Jesus is doing, he's not just taking the letter of the law, thou shalt not kill, but he's looking deeper. He's looking at feeling and heart. What's in your heart? Because it's one thing to check off the list, but it's another thing when you look at what's in your heart. So it comes down to more than just doing those simple little things, to a respecting and loving the people who are around you. And that can be hard. Do you ever have a hard time respecting and loving some of the people around you? I know I do. Am I the only one? Okay, good. I'm glad to see I'm not okay. I'm not the only one doing that. So you might be thinking, okay, Dondra, this is all great. You did a wonderful job, maybe, of entertaining us for a few minutes about what the disciples are supposed to do, but what in the world does this have to do with me? I'm glad you asked, because I want to tell you. We're Christians, right? Am I the only? Okay, yes, we're Christians. So what are we supposed to do as Christians? We're disciples of Christ. We're supposed to go out and tell people about Jesus. So doesn't this job description apply to us too? Don't we have that job description? Aren't we also to be the salt of the world, of the light to the world? Aren't we supposed to love God and love neighbor? Yeah? And shouldn't people be able to see our good works? We should be doing something, because the disciples were supposed to go out there and do this. But are we doing this? What are we doing with our salt? I read this story. It's a really interesting story. This man went into a mom-and-pop grocery store. And he asked the owner, "Do you have salt?" And the owner said, "Do I have salt? Come here, I've got salt." Went to a shelf. Every kind of imaginable salt was there. Morton, iodized, there was kosher salt, sea salt, rock salt, garlic salt, seasoning salt, Epsom salt. Every kind of salt you could imagine. And the person said, wow, you got a lot of salt. He said, if you think that's something, come with me. Took him to a back room. He said, I've got salt. So there were, the room was filled with shelves and bins and cartons and barrels of salt. And the man said, that's unbelievable. You've got a lot of salt. He said, you think that's something? Come downstairs with me. Went to the basement. There's a room even larger, full, floor to ceiling, with every kind of form, shape, size of salt, even a 10-pound cowlick of salt. And he said, you really have a lot of salt. You sell a lot of salt. And the owner said, no, we don't sell any salt. That's the problem. We don't sell salt. But that salt salesman, he can sell salt. Somebody said, well, what's the point of this story? Well, salt that stays on the shelf won't do anybody a bit of good. Light that's hidden under a basket, it can't help people see. If we don't love God and love our neighbor, then we won't do good works. So the salt has to come off the shelf so it can use its flavor out in the world. The light has to come out from under the bushel basket so that people can see. And in order for us to follow the law interpreted by Jesus, there's something we have to do. We have to get out of this church. We come here together, and that's great, because we come together to worship God. But then we need to leave. We need to go out into the world. We need to see where are the needs. And we have to be the salt and the light to the people who are out there. We're essential, just like the disciples were essential. But in order for us to do something with our salt and our light, we have to get out of our comfort zones. We can't stay on the shelf. We can't stay hidden in our homes. We really aren't being like the disciples if we do that. Jesus wants us to go out and be the salt and the light to the world. So ask yourself this. What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ in Dunwoody? What do you need to do? We all can be the salt and the light in different ways to different people, whoever we're interacting with. So what way could you do that? And then also ask yourself, are you, am I, are we as the church, are we being the light of Christ? Or are we simply being a mirror and just modeling whatever it is that's out there? Because it's important that we be the light and not the mirror. And think about, what will it take for you to be the salt and the light to this community? Think about it this week. And then after you've figured it out, go and do it. Don't just sit on the shelf. Let's pray. Dear God, help us as we go about our week to step out of our comfort zones and to be the kind of disciples you desire. Help us to love you so completely that we can't help but love our neighbors and let our good works shine for all to see. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.